Okay, thanks everybody for coming to the Buffalo Mine Soapstone Community Council. I see that a quorum's present, and a quorum being present, we're going to call this meeting to order. And would you like to stand up and give the pledge? You lead us in the pledge? Where's Larry? Oh, no, the other Larry. Oh, he said he can't talk. So the other Larry then.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, I need my agenda. Okay, so before the approval of the agenda, I just want to go over a couple of rules on how this meeting is going to run. First of all, if anybody wants to speak, there's a table there, but please be seated until you're called on, so we don't have people rushing up to the table. That's the first thing. And all the questions, et cetera, will go through the chair, that's me, and to the rest of, to anybody else on the board or whatever. So I just want to make that point clear. I do want to call on as many people here as I can, and that means that if you have something that you, some business that you really want to bring forward, and you stand up and bring that business forward, I'll probably call on somebody else the next time to give them a fair opportunity to speak, etc. Everybody's going to get 2 minutes for any motion, and twice they'll be able to speak during any motion. So if someone makes a motion, then they'll be able to speak another time if they desire and if they have something extra to say. So that will cover that aspect of it. 2 minutes apiece and twice per motion. That's just a business item. So moving forward, the next item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. Is anybody opposed to the agenda? I'm going to try for a consent vote here. If no one's opposed, then we'll just move forward with it and accept it as is. Hearing and seeing no opposition to the agenda, it is approved as is. The next section here, we have announcements. We'll move on to the announcements. Rick, I'm going to leave Rick open with this.
We have several candidates for local office here tonight, and I allowed them to stand up, introduce themselves, tell you what they're running for, and sit back down. So pay attention. So if you're interested in what they're running for and want to talk to them, then this is your chance to get to know who they are. And the signs you see, you can put a face to the sign. So who would like to be first? We have a gentleman here. Come on down. There's a microphone at the table. Keep it short, please.
20 minutes.
That's it.
Working. Hello, everybody. My name is Mark Masteller, and I'm running for Matsu Borough Mayor. And I've been going around to community council meetings just to make that announcement so you can put a face with a sign or a name. And I appreciate the council allowing me to have a little bit of time. If you want to know more about me, there is a website at mastellerformayor.com. And I'm always, one of the things I do at these meetings is simply ask what people's concerns are, et cetera. So if you ever want to contact me, don't be shy. I spent 7 years on the Matsu Borough Planning Commission, 3 years as the chair running meetings, and I've served in my community council just as you have. So a long time in the borough, and like I say, if you have any questions, don't be shy about contacting me. And I appreciate the time. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
I'm Larry DeVilbiss. I'm your current mayor, and I'm just completing Talis Kohlberg's term, actually. And last week, I filed to run for my own term. So you probably know enough about me. I have a website, too. It is matsumayor.com. Pretty easy.
Next.
Good evening. My name is Jamie Duhamel, and I'm running for State House in this district. I'm a lifelong Matsu Valley resident. I'm currently raising my four boys up in Sutton, so I'm sure we have a lot of common interests and ideas about what is good for our community. I brought some information with me, so if you'd like to speak with me after the meeting, I'll be here the entire time and would love to meet you in person. I will be going door-to-door in your community very soon, so I look forward to having more one-on-one conversations with each of you. If you'd just like my website right now, it's duhamelforhouse.com. Thank you.
And, one more here. I believe if there's...
Hello, my name is David Eastman. I live outside of Palmer up near Hatcher's Pass, and I am running to be your state senator. I am opposed by three candidates. The thing that distinguishes me is I'm the only candidate who does not live in Fairbanks. The district, of course, goes up to Fairbanks and down to Valdez. I will be here afterwards and would love to talk with you. Thank you.
Is there anyone else here that would care to speak up?
Okay, the next order of business is the approval of the minutes of the previous meeting. Will the Secretary Rick Shields please read the minutes of the last meeting?
Sure, I would if I had them.
Oh, I'm sorry. We missed somebody.
Yeah.
Announcements. That wasn't intentional.
I'm Warren Keogh, your assemblyman, and I'm not running for office. So, six very quick announcements, and I'll get out of the way. One, the Road Service Area Board. Again, RSA 23 has three seats. Barbara Girard has been the only sitting member for the last couple of years. So if any of you are especially interested in road service area matters, get a hold of me or contact the clerk if you want to engage in that activity. You can do it. I want to let you know that Coprood formerly had the contract for this road service area. Now a new entity, Norse Alaska, has the contract, but it's essentially Coprood again. So I think you'll be getting the same service. Next, the Jensen Road soapstone connection. There's been a proposal on and off for years to make that extension, to extend Jensen Road from the Fishhook area to the soapstone road. To join Conan Road, rather. It's kind of an alternate route of ingress and egress into the community. There are advocates for it and those against it. It's one project that's listed in the Borough's Capital Improvement Program. There's been some survey work done recently, but there are no funds to build the road. And at this time, there'll be nothing further on that unless we get a push from the community or a grant from the state. But if you're an advocate of the road extension, please let me know. On coal matters, just a quick announcement. According to a statement by Usabelli Coal Mine, there will be no mine development at Wishbone Hill this year. Usabelli lacks the necessary permits to proceed with mine development, although there may be some coal exploration activity if they get a permit to explore. Next, community revenue share funds. Just a reminder, your community has $26,900 for this year, and this coming year there will likely be another $20,000 to $30,000 if you elect to use it and spend it on some project within the community. Your community council, the name of the council has changed by an assembly action that we took 2 months ago, and so the name of the council is recognized by the borough has been changed back to the Buffalo Mine Soapstone Community Council rather than the Moose Creek Soapstone Community Council. One issue right now, there's a proposed natural gas LID for the Ravens Hill, part of Ravens Hill and Norman Lang's Holiday subdivision. Based on the vote of property owners within this proposed LID, the assembly will vote on whether or not to approve the LID following a public hearing on August 21st. So those of you affected will probably, or I know some of you have already received a ballot in the mail, so you can vote for it or vote against it, and this assembly will follow up with some action here in about 3 weeks. Most of those roads affected are along, or the properties affected, and there are 115 of them altogether, are along Soapstone, Williams, Norman, Evergreen, and Lupin, and this is about a $600,000 gas line project that you may or may not want. So let me know, and if you're one of the folks potentially affected, cast your ballot. One more thing, and that's I've gotten a couple comments recently regarding Open Meeting Act issues as it regards the council, but I just want to let all of you know that community councils, since they're voluntary, kind of self-governing entities and run themselves as they see fit, so Open Meetings Act regulations and statutes don't apply, but they do apply when you address matters that concern the borough, whether it's for a comprehensive plan or how to spend revenue sharing funds. Then if you have a meeting to discuss this, whether the officers do or the council does, then you need to notice that, advertise that, so everybody can be informed and attend. Otherwise, the internal matters of the community council is not the affair of the borough. And thanks.
Thanks, everybody, for coming here, too. Sometimes I miss that little statement in the beginning. Jump right into things. So the next business in order is the approval of the minutes. Our Secretary Rick Shields.
These are the minutes from last meeting. Quorum was met. The agenda was approved. Announcements. Warren sent some announcements that were read by Marnie. The secretary made an announcement for beginning of two committees, asked for some volunteers. There was no volunteers for either committee, trails, or coal watch. Board reports. The president had a report for standing rules, and he explained he did not choose to enact those rules. Secretary, reading approval of minutes February 6th, the member gave his concern about receiving any money from the government during that reading. The minutes were approved as corrected and read. There was a treasury report. The amount of the revenue share was $26,900 is the correct amount. And there was a question from a member about a spreadsheet being available, and it was. Committee reports. There was the committee chair gave a report reviewing the actions of the bylaw committee. New business. We had a Moose Federation presentation. Gary Olson gave a presentation explaining the Alaska Moose Federation and its history and ongoings. To date, Diane Johnson is a contact person for the Moose Kill List, and growmoremoose.org was the website. President was asked why he removed this from the list. Discussion followed. Future new business requested and voted on by community. There was a motion made about an emergency bylaw change to move bylaw presentation and possible voting change to this meeting, August meeting. It was seconded. But according to Article 15 of the current bylaws, an emergency needs to be found by the board in order to change the bylaws before the annual meeting. Motion was found out of order. Discussion followed. A point of order was made by the vice president. Revenue sharing grant process was next. A discussion was held about the money in general, some for giving it back, some were saying use the money. There was a discussion about both sides. A motion was made to put up kiosks. Pending liability insurance isn't out of reach. It was seconded. Discussion was made. There was amendment to make it semi-portable and add $1,000 for up to three signs. There was a vote taken, 6 opposed, 51 for. The motion passed. There was another motion made to use revenue sharing funds to cover administrative costs for the rest of this year as presented at that particular meeting. It was seconded. Discussion was held. Motion amended to say not to exceed $3,500. Some of the non-recurring fees included the 501c3 fee of $450, the IRS another $120, and past taxes were approximately $500 that were non-recurring in that budget. There was a vote taken, 54, 7 against. Motion passed. There was a community cleanup item. Previous president explained the details from the past. It was going to be decided post on the website, the dates for this cleanup, and Jason, the treasurer, volunteered to head up that that cleanup project. There was a restatement of the motions and voting results. There was some open comments at the end, and we move to adjourn. Does anybody have anything different that they remember happening or anything they want to add to or change from that? If not,
come forward. And Jennifer.
Is this on? So is that available on a handout? I didn't get one. And was that emailed out? Could you please email it out in advance next time so we could review it? Thank you. And preferably a lot sooner after the meeting so we can actually remember what happened.
Are there any corrections to the minutes? Who can't hear? Well, there is some room over here. We can always put some chairs closer. Can you hear now? Because if you can't hear now, we're going to have to do something in the construction of the seats. Yeah, Jason, watch it. Yep. Okay, we'll give it a shot now. Is that a little better? I see Luke nodding. What about... You okay? All right. Okay. Everybody over here okay? All right, I don't see any objection here, so... Is there any objection to the minutes again? Hearing and seeing none, the minutes are approved as read. The Treasurer, Jason Crum, will give his report now.
Okay, just a quick update on the revenue share process. I spoke with the borough this week, and we should expect the check for fiscal year 2010 in the next couple weeks. And so we'll actually have some money to fulfill the projects that Larry had proposed last meeting. Along the lines of how much money we have, after the only expenditure we had between last meeting and this meeting was the $80 to rent this room, so therefore we are down to $146.36 after the costs for the room tonight, which is another $80, and then for the sound system, which is $50, we're down to $16. So we we're gonna need that money soon if we're gonna actually want to do anything beyond next meeting or beyond this meeting. Any questions for Treasurer? Yes. We don't have any money to pay for it. And so I've been in communication with, I can never remember his name because it's an odd name, but I've been in communication with the firm that was started, or that it was started under, and they are aware that as soon as we get money, we're going to get rolling on it.
Okay, there being no more questions, the report will be filed for audit. Okay, so next is the President's report, and I just wanted to brief you on a couple things. The most important thing here is myself. I'm going to speak for myself here, in that I tried to lead the board in a direction to bring about nominations and to have them put on the ballot, and also to bring about the ability to vote for bylaws absentee. After some further research and talking to people that know a little bit more about parliamentary procedure, found out that we really can't set aside the bylaws. So we won't be able to actually put nominations on the ballot, and the reason for that is there's some discrepancies in the bylaws currently, the way nominations are handled, and rather than pursuing that, it'd be best to not pursue that. And then for the bylaws, in Article 15 of the bylaws, it says you have to be present here to vote on the bylaws. So setting the bylaws aside would, for one, it's not recommended. It's not right to do that. So we won't be setting the bylaws aside for absentee votes. Now we can still vote, or we can still put the bylaw changes, any bylaw changes that we would make a motion to do tonight, we can still put those on the ballot, but we can't have absentee votes applying towards those. So did everybody kind of understand what I was trying to say there? It started out a little bit rough, so, okay. And as far as what we have on the agenda, we've got nominations, so we're just going to take some names of people. Anybody that wants to speak up and say that they want to run, we're going to take those down, but we can't put them on the ballot, and they're not really officially nominations, they're just a notification We've got an issue about a mailbox that I brought up, and we'll go over that. Statement pretty much says what it needs to. After that, we're going to have the bylaw discussion, which I think is going to be the biggest one of the night. And those agenda items beyond that, they're there if we have time. I'd like to get the public comment, but it's really up to you what we do beyond that. So we're going to proceed in that sort of fashion. So the next order of business is nominations. Would anybody like to come forward and let the secretary know that they would be running for elections? Sure. It'd be better that you introduce yourself than me.
Jennifer Charvet, and yes, I'm running. Need anything else? For those of you who don't recognize me, I'm Jennifer.
Okay.
I'm Steve Renner, and I will be running this year as well. Thank you.
Krista Nasielik, and yes, I'm going to run again.
Jason Crum, and yes, I'm going to run also.
It's pretty quiet. Is there anybody else that wants to let the crowd know that they're going to be running?
Rick Shields, I'm going to run again, I guess.
April Lewis, and I will run.
Julia Plotnick, and I'll be running this year.
Anybody else? Good once. You can ask a question, sure.
Is this the only time that you can announce, or is there another?
No. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
You can announce any time from now till the meeting. And we really can't take nominations until the meeting. So the actual nomination will be made at the meeting. We'll definitely set aside time for you to speak and to say your piece there, introduce yourself, tell us what you're running for, et cetera. So this is not the only time that you can speak. Sure. Come on up to the mic, please.
I was curious as to who is the fifth member of our the board.
Yes, Marnie Weiland. She was unable to make it because she's not feeling well.
Okay. And I was also wondering, does this council have like someone who represents and them and like a public relations person?
The way that the council is represented in any kind of public forum is that the community itself has to authorize that individual to speak, and normally that's the president, and the vote will be taken here to speak for a given piece of information.
Whatever. Well, what I was asking is because it says in one of these stacks of papers that that you can't speak for the board without the board, without a majority vote.
That's correct.
And if someone had a question as to what, this meant or what that meant, who would they go to? The whole board? Because then you would have to speak for everybody.
Are you speaking about the potential bylaw changes that are in front of you, or what are you speaking
right,
about?
I mean like the quorum and stuff like that we were talking about. I wouldn't have understood it unless
there's certain things that you can point them through to me, and then I might go and say, well, you know, Brandy's here, Byron's here, Janet's here. They're all people that worked on the bylaw committee, and I might be able to point you to them, have them explain part of that, part of the change that's in there. So.
Okay. I was just curious because, you know, I can't be the only one that had some questions about what
sure.
this
Sure, we'll have questions.
If I'm, you know, go to elect someone and I'm ignorant as to what I'm actually electing them for and what's going on and what I'm, you know, what bylaws I'm trying to change,
sure.
then I'm doing more damage than I am good. So.
Understand.
I appreciate it.
Yep. Marty Chambers.
My name is Martin Chambers.
Okay, is there anybody else that wants to bring about anything about nominations or let people know that they're going to run? No.
For those of you that said you wanted to run, I'd be glad to put anything on the website you guys want to put on there as far as bios and stuff like that goes. So just email me, let me know.
So hearing and seeing none, we're going to move to the next item on the agenda, which is the mailbox. And I brought this up, and the reason I brought this, well, I'll read the statement here. Should the board change the locks and prevent mail reception for 2 weeks prior to meeting and allow for a community witness while gathering mail? This would be for the absentee votes. The cost would be less than $15. Actually, the cost is $10 to change the locks and $5 for each additional key. The purpose of this is just to have a witness for absentee votes, and nobody here may think that it's necessary. If you do think it's necessary, then I personally brought it up because I didn't want to be held responsible and have somebody say that, oh, you messed up and you did something wrong. I'd rather have a witness there. But it's up to the community here if they want to do that. So I'm going to open the floor right now. Go ahead. Better to face here.
I just want to clarify, I might have misunderstood earlier, but I thought you said that you couldn't do absentee voting for the bylaw changes, right, in the fall? I mean, at the November meeting, that you can't do absentee voting for the bylaw changes? And then did you also say you can't do absentee voting for the people running?
No, I might have messed up when I said that. What we can't put nominations on the ballot. And in order to do either of those two things, let me explain that because I probably went over that fast. But in order to do either of those two things, we have to set aside the bylaws. And that's what we're avoiding because that I found is not the way to do it. We don't want to set an example like that, number one. Number two, in Robert's Rules, it specifically states that we cannot do that. So
that means the names of who's running won't go on until that. They won't be announced ahead of time?
I'm
just wondering if there is anything to absentee vote on. That's my question.
At the next election, I don't believe so, unless something comes up here.
You could vote on, or you could absentee vote on individuals because we will know who's running, and you can write in whoever you want. So you can absentee vote on them. We'll take the numbers. You know, you just have to do it by the rules. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah. So there will absentee votes will be available, but just for those running for elections. We can't do anything with the nominations, though, until the next meeting.
Okay. I just want to clarify that before
sure.
we decided if we needed to.
Okay. Mrs. Shields.
Thank you. All right. So I understand this point. Should the board change the locks?
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to make a motion if I agree with that being done?
If you'd like that to be done, yes.
I'm all about better safe than sorry. So I motion that the former president, Jennifer, and the current president, Brian, take over and for the absentee and, I don't know how to word it, change the lock and watch over those
Okay,
ballots.
First of all, Jennifer would have to be willing to do that. I'm willing if she is. So, okay. So What if I understand what you're trying to do, I'm going to repeat it, and you just say, you know, you agree with me or disagree, okay? So you want to make a motion to change the locks, and since the treasurer is in charge of the locks at the UPS store. He's in charge of the mailbox. He will have to make the change, and then make a statement to the UPS store that no one is to open the locks until the day of the election at 5 o'clock.
And those no ones would be you and Jennifer.
Well, it'd be me, Jennifer, or anybody on this board. But if
okay.
No one would have the key, right? They'll hold the key. They'll hold the key.
Okay, so before I move that motion, I think that's reasonable. Yeah. I motion, yes.
So did you catch that, Rick? Motion was made to change the locks to notify the UPS store that that no one is to receive the new key until the day of election at 5 p.m. And the treasurer must do this because he is the primary on the mailbox. And Jennifer and I would go together, and we would decide how we're going to handle the ballots. Collect the ballots. Yeah. So, the motion has been made. There's second. Okay, second by Rick. And is there any other discussion? Sure. Come this way. Krista, come to the microphone, please.
It's an easy question. So at 5 p.m. on election day, mm-hmm. the day of the meeting,
yep.
you and Jennifer would go and pick up the ballots.
Right.
So all of the absentee ballots would count for that night. Correct?
Yeah. Well, the absentee
ballots. And what was the reason for the two-week period?
It just gives some time because people will be sending in. You can have whatever time limit you want. You could have 3 weeks or 7 weeks, but we don't want to hold up the mailbox too long in case Jason's got business he's got to do. But at the same time, 2 weeks would be a sufficient amount of time for all the absentee ballots to come in. And, you know, but if you think a different time.
I think even less than 2 weeks, 1 week maybe. But so long as the votes get counted that night, that's
no. That's my we'll pick them up, we'll bring them in, and then we'll be counting them. And it'll be for the elections. You know, it'll just be for people running for the board.
And it's just a safety measure.
Right.
Just a
yes. Whether it's necessary or not, it's a higher standard, and I'd like to keep that. Is there any other discussion on this motion? Sure.
Just simply because I don't remember that this was ever addressed. Is this precedent setting so that every election, every time we have absentee ballots, this is the precedence we're going to follow? Or is this simply for the elections?
The precedence doesn't really mean anything. So this is just for this one. If we decide to do it again, we can do it free of will. You know, so. Right now, we're asking the crowd to see whether or not they want to do it. Well, if there's no further discussion, then we'll go to a vote. Everybody has their voting cards. We're going to need to raise, and we didn't get any counters. Do we have counters? Okay. Okay, we're going to look for a show of cards here. We do need to count them, though. We need to, yeah. I need a couple volunteers to count. Thanks, Marty. Okay, so between the two of you, work it out. So all those in favor of the motion at hand, can Rick read the motion?
Motion was made to change the locks, to notify the UPS store that no one is to receive the new key till the day of the election, and Jennifer and Brian will collect the ballots and bring them to the meeting.
Second by Rick. So all those in favor of that motion, please raise your cards. Let me do it this way. Is there anybody opposed to that motion? We're going to go for a consent vote. Hearing and seeing no opposition, this is a consent vote, and that's the way it will be recorded. Good. All right, now we got the exciting one. Everybody came for this one, I imagine. This is the bylaw discussion. We had a great group of people on the bylaw committee. I'm going to list their names up, and if they want to stand up and be recognized, that would be great, because they really put in some long and hard hours. So Brandy Crum was the chair, Chris Cruz, Byron Henshaw, Janet McCullough, and Jim Beck. If you guys would stand. Like I said, they did a really good job, and they put in some long hours. So for this bylaw discussion, there's a couple things I wanted to go over. One is making a motion. And so I'm just going to describe how that works, because I know there's some new people here that haven't been through this process before. But to bring business up in a community, we make a motion. When you make a motion, it's simply, I make a motion to do something. So, and that brings in new business. Now, if you don't, like I said, if you don't know how you want to word it or you want to do something different, just step up and I'll try to help you the best I can. So if someone makes a motion, that sets the baseline. So for instance, I'm going to use this example throughout the meeting. Let's say a member makes a motion to buy a truck. Okay? So that's the baseline. Now, well, that's on the floor, and that's the business at hand if someone seconds it. So we got this truck. Another member comes by and says, I don't like the blue color that it comes with. I want it green. That's an amendment. It's pretty simple. We're just changing something on the amendments, something on the main motion. So we would vote for the color first, and then we'd vote for the truck. That's the way it works. So we might not agree with the member that wanted to change the color of the truck, right? But then we go to the next vote. Do we even want the truck at all? You know, so we got to vote on that. That would be the next level. So it's kind of an easy example. Now, if another member comes up and wants to change the amendment, now I don't want to go there if I can avoid it. But you know, this may happen. So let's say a member comes up and says, I want to change the color to blue, like we said. So we got the baseline truck, now it's going to be blue, or the member wants it blue. We got to vote on that. Well, another member says, well, how about we make that aqua blue? Isn't that what you meant? Well, you can do a friendly, all right? So I'd like to allow friendlies in that sort of a situation, kind of to speed things up, you know. We want things to move as quick as we can. But if someone were to make a motion, for instance, I want to take this whole bylaw plan and put it on the ballot for the elections. Now, if we did that, you don't want to really make a friendly on that, because it's really not going to be friendly, okay? That'd be like saying, I want a bicycle rather than a truck. I mean, it wouldn't be quite that much, but it won't work. But if we go above that and we say, you know, if someone wants to change a color and someone wants to help them out with the wording, rather than doing a whole big vote for it throughout, if the person that made the amendment accepts the change from blue to aqua blue, then, hey, it's all right. We'll go with it, and we'll just move on. But we will have to vote on the color first and then the truck. So we may not want the truck after all this discussion, but if we want the truck, let's vote on it and, you know, put it in. So it's all up to you guys how this gets decided. The bylaw committee did their work. They we received their work, and then we made a couple changes. So we think that it's, let me put it this way. I'm speaking for myself. And when I say we, I say the majority of the board. You know, the majority of the board likes this, and they put it out. They think that it's a good thing, but you may find things you don't like. You may not like it at all. You know, our opinion is not what counts. It's your opinion. So that's what we're voting on. We have the bylaw amendments, or not amendments, I'm sorry, they would be proposed bylaws. And we cannot vote to put them in today, just so you know. We can't say, I want to change the bylaws of what we have to these today. because that takes not only a two-thirds vote, but it's not allowed today because we're not allowed to do bylaw changes until the last meeting. So that's where we sit today. Now, if we want to change that and make an emergency bylaw, that's another story that's down the line, but we're here to look at the bylaw changes that are proposed. So with that, first of all, does anybody have any questions?
Again, my name is Martin Chambers. I saw in here it says that if someone proposes or has a motion, then you have to give considerable time or whatever for the whole community to understand it, and then sure. You vote on it at the next meeting. Was the because I just don't want lost time and stuff like that. And I was curious as to whether what we just voted on, was that proposed at this meeting? I know you brought it up at another meeting, but did you make a motion at that meeting, or does that only have to do with bylaws?
Are you speaking to the bylaws, or are you speaking to the mailbox? I'm not following.
Is the mailbox?
Well, the mailbox was brought up at this meeting,
right.
And then a motion was made, and business was accepted by the community. We voted on it and agreed to it, so it will happen.
What about the rest of the community?
What about the rest of what community?
How do they do all the people that aren't here? Like, if it was a bylaw, they'd get absentee votes, wouldn't they? They'd be able to do absentee voting.
Well, for the bylaws, we can't do absentee voting this year on the bylaws. If we were to put bylaws in, we can't. Let me back up so I can make sure that you understand. If we make a motion to put these bylaws, or we bring business up to put the bylaws on the ballot for the elections, we will be voting at the elections for those bylaw changes. So once they're in place, we can show up at the meeting and vote on them. But we can't vote absentee, because if we vote absentee, that breaks the bylaws that are currently in place. You have to be present.
But it states in here that absentee voting is allowed.
It is, yes. But not in this case. I have the bylaws in front of me. I'm going to show you Article 15. It says, changes to the bylaws shall require a vote of at least 10 members or a two-thirds majority of general members present at the meeting. So we're bound to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Does that answer your questions?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Are there any other questions before we begin? Hearing and seeing none, we are going to open this to the public here. So, is there anybody that wants to make any business on this? Don't be shy.
Hi, Wendy Nasser. My husband and I are new to the community. We've just been here 2 months. We would like to suggest that more reflectors maybe are put on Buffalo Mine. Not streetlights, but reflectors.
That isn't really in the... That's a good suggestion, but suggestions like that will probably be better in like a public comment section. What we're doing right now is we're talking about the bylaws. So if you definitely well accepted, but it'd be better placed in a different place in that. But just so you know for future. As far as the rest of the discussion, we're going to try to focus that on the bylaws itself. Yep.
Michelle Prevost, I would like to propose that as we just start this discussion on the bylaws, at some point I think we have to make a motion, but that the bylaw committee actually come up and discuss what they came up with and basically give us a review of what they came up with for bylaws and hear what they have to say before we get into detail on the revised version from the board.
There'll be time for that during the discussion on each article. So if anybody has questions and they relate to the bylaw committee and what the bylaw committee did, they can ask during that time
Okay, but I was just wondering if the bylaw committee chairman wanted to make just a quick presentation.
No, that's kind of redirecting in a different way, and I'm not going to do that.
Thanks. Remember, I'd like to make, you weren't here when I mentioned it, but if you'd please raise your hand from the crowd, and then I'll call on you and stuff. Okay, but go ahead.
Alrighty, good thing. I got here late.
Yeah.
But my understanding is there's two versions of these bylaws, the bylaws that the bylaw committee came up with, and then you three guys or the executive board got together and made up their own version of that, changed things. Is that correct?
It's not exactly correct, but we did receive the bylaws and we made a few changes, yes.
Now, why would you do that? You had a committee set up to do the bylaws, and then you go behind closed doors and you change that?
I think at this point we're going to move forward. Thank you.
I bet that's the best you can do. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure everybody understands here fully that is the case.
Now, what I said too, though, we are here to keep order. So if you have something, you can raise your hand and I'll call on you.
But you have no response to going behind closed doors and changing bylaws.
I think we're done with that right now, ma'am. Thank you. Ms. Shields?
I'm really sorry. I have a point of question.
Sure.
Right now, we are just deciding if we want to change the current bylaws at all. And then after we move that and that's all passed, then we're going to go step by step. Is that correct or no?
Well, we can do this in a number of ways, if I understand your question correctly. Someone could move to move to put all the bylaws on the ballot. They could move to put separate ones, although I do not... Oh, and the one... I forgot to do something here anyway. But they can move to put several of them on the ballot. But I would suggest... What I would suggest is to move the entire thing on the ballot, and this is my suggestion. So it's my opinion, and that's all it is. But then for each bylaw, you know, if you want to change it, let's change it that way. That would be probably the best. And one thing I forgot to do, and I'd kind of like to, if it's okay, is I'd like to go read the bylaws or the proposed bylaws that we have here. The ones that, yeah, I'll call on you in just a second. So I'd like to do that so that we can all understand what they are. I'll take your question, then I'm going to read them off.
Well, I don't know if it's a question as much as a suggestion, because the two versions, it seems to me there's only three particular...
I know there's arguments on the two versions, ma'am.
No, listen.
I'm going to cut you off because
three,
we have to move forward.
Three, I have a suggestion.
And I'm not going to make an argument on the two versions.
I'm not trying to.
Huh? Okay, I'm sorry then. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Renner. There's three areas that are in conflict between the two different versions. I'll call it versions for lack of a better word. And one is the number of general meetings. One is the quorum. And one is notice for board meetings.
Okay.
So it seems to me if we could, you know, parse it out and vote on those three or discuss those three and then move it as a document, that might be the thing to do.
Okay. I apologize for jumping on you like that. Julia?
What I thought was going to happen, and maybe it still can, is that we would actually just start right now and go through the new proposals, read them, whatever form you want, and then see if there's any objection or changes to be made to each one, and then jot those down. And then when we get to the end, then we decide if it's good to go and everybody likes it the way it is, and then that can be put on the ballot in the fall at the November meeting. Is that not what you were thinking?
Well, we have to wait for the members of the community to move forward with a motion to do something.
So to make changes at all, you mean? Because I'm not sure what's on the floor right now.
There's nothing on the floor. The business, the floor is open to discuss the bylaw changes, the proposed bylaw changes.
The actual ones? The actual way they're written? Or just the concept of changing it in general?
No, the floor is open to first the bylaw proposals that the board put forward. And that's what I think I'd like
the
to...
The whole document.
Yes.
But don't we all have to read it first? I mean...
That's why don't we read it right
that's
now?
That's what I'm saying. Can't we go through it one by one and then at the end of each article, then discussion could happen?
Yeah.
I'm making a motion to do that.
To do... Okay, to do what then? What is the motion that you're making?
To read through from the beginning the proposal of the proposed changes, and at the end of each article, people can make their comments of anything they like or don't like or want to change, and then... We jot those down, and then we go to the next one, and we get through the whole document with everybody's suggested changes. And if there's something that's controversial, then we have that becomes a discussion until we decide what we want it to be.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, we read it through, people will jot down their information, but they're not going to be responding. They're just going to be keeping notes. And then
at the end of each article, then you get the discussion. So you don't go through the entire document all at once. You go through each article, and then you stop and say, okay, any discussion? That? Does that sound good?
It sounds reasonable. What I actually thought was very similar, except somebody, like for Article 1, somebody could say, I make a motion that we accept Article 1.
Without reading it?
It gets seconded. It's just the name of the community, so it should be easy to get
That's
through
easy.
That and the boundaries.
But everybody should have
a
chance, because we've been talking all this time, so people need to actually sit down and read these things word for word before they can say, yes, I want to vote for this or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we should go through them word for word.
Yeah. Sounds reasonable.
Is that okay? And then at the end of each article, we open it up for any discussion, go from there.
You're making the motion.
I'm making the motion to proceed that way.
And I believe Mrs. Shields seconded it. And the motion is... It's a motion to, if I understood it correctly, it's a motion to read the bylaws, stopping after each one, and then discussing them if there's any discussion necessary. And the ones that we'll be reading are the ones that the board presented to the community. Is that correct?
Yeah, and if anybody from the bylaw... Well, I don't know if it's...
Well, then at the end we get
no,
to discuss...
No, I was just wondering if it's necessary to mention what was changed from the original, but I don't... People have the original, so they can look at that.
Yeah.
That's shorter.
If somebody wants to do that, they can do that right along the way.
Okay, I
think what Krista mentioned is very reasonable for what she talked about, because I think that's where some of our disagreements are going to be.
That's where the discussion's going to get...
Right, yeah.
...happen. Okay.
So it's a motion to read the bylaws, stopping at the end of each one, and then discussing it. Now, the only thing I would caution, the community on is that if we read each one of these and go through them and discuss them, and then at the end of each one we decide to do something, but then we decide not, like, let's say we decide to put 1 through 5 on the ballot. If we don't handle 6, then that may cause a problem with the current bylaw. So I would suggest as we go through, we just amend the ones if necessary and go that way. Well, the motion's, you've spoke on the motion. The motion's been made, seconded. So now it's open for discussion. The Vice President would like to speak.
I would like to amend that motion to address the 3 areas prior to going through the entire bylaws. That it is pretty obvious that is the major difference between the 2 bylaws. And I think the bylaws are pretty generic in most respects, but the 3 areas that I'm talking about are the quorum and the number of meetings. And what's the 3rd one, Krista? The what? And the public notice for board meetings and or working sessions.
So we're amending it to discuss those 3 items first. Is that my fault?
Do I get the first meetings to discuss?
You do, yeah, actually.
Okay, so listen. You know, I know that each and every one of us in this room came here tonight for a reason, and I respect every one of you folks coming in here and participating in the process. And the reason that I just made the motion was it seems as the real points are defining the quorum, and my reasoning for the quorum. I know everybody has their reasoning for it, but I'm looking at a sign-in sheet that has 225 people. I'm looking at meetings since I know I've been involved where we've never had less than 70, and most of the time we've had at least 100. So, and then another, the two meetings versus the four meetings a year. I have talked to countless people in this room who would like to see this thing a lot simpler, and maybe we would just deal with the business in two meetings a year instead of four, because it seems like right now we have a lot of contention. And the problem, the reason I made this motion, my concern is with this constant attention, we're driving the majority of the people away. I know there's a lot of people that are not here tonight because of that contention. And so I'm speaking in behalf of trying to make this a little more user-friendly process and not take... Nobody likes to go to meetings all the time. I include that. But the quorum, my argument on the quorum is that 30 is definitely not enough because it does not represent a majority. Robert's Rules says that a quorum represents the majority of the membership, and as far as I'm concerned, that roster is the membership. So in that roster, if we represent the majority of the roster, that's over 100. Okay, so my thinking is we back this thing down to 60, and that way who's ever running this board has to be accountable to a meeting to get 60 people to that meeting to make decisions so that we don't ever have a small minority running our business again like we had in the past, which basically is what led each and every one of us to get involved with this business. In the past, we had a 10-person quorum and a big bank account, and it got us in trouble. So, anybody else? That's my speech.
So that was the what we're dealing with here is an amendment to the original motion, and to discuss those three items first. It's not a friendly amendment. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. So we're discussing the amendment right now to the original motion. There is a motion on the floor. There's an amendment to that motion. No. This is for the No. So go ahead, Brandy.
Well, I'm confused. Are we discussing it? Because it sounded like Steve was discussing it. So are we in the discussion?
Yes, we're having a discussion on the amendment. Right now we're on the amendment side of it.
Okay, I agree that we should probably address the... I don't like facing you guys. I'm here to talk to everyone here. I agree that we need to probably address these three items. They were by far the most significant differences in the two documents. My name is Brandy, and I was chair of the bylaw committee. Awesome job by the team, and we had some really awesome, consistent community participants. We as a team all worked together to determine that we felt a frequency of four meetings would be required to support the current structure that we were proposing. For example, in the bylaws, it specifically says that no major motion, such as impacting your property rights or changing the bylaws, can be made and voted at the same meeting. So, if you have a wonderful idea or something that needs to be changed, you could wait up to 6 months to have a meeting, make the motion, then you have to wait another 6 months before it could even get voted on, or you have to scramble in the community to do a special meeting, get people together, and it's less scheduled. So that's part of the reason why we are not supportive of two meetings. Plus, we have people who want to build a better community. They want to do stuff like roadside cleanup and food drives, and why should we hold people hostage or guilt them or threaten them to show up? Why not have enough meetings where people who want to participate can, and people who don't want to participate on that level will have plenty of notice when something important is coming up, and they can only attend those meetings. And that leads right into the quorum. If you look on your meeting notes, 57 people voted at the last meeting. That means that with a quorum of 60, nothing could have been done at all. Janet was our awesome bylaw researcher, and she's probably visited every bylaw that's on the web.
Brandy, I'm going to interrupt you just for a second, and it's not continue, but we're trying to keep it to 2 minutes, so you have about 13 seconds on the 2 minutes. I'm not finished yet. I'm going to allow you to speak a little bit longer.
But Janet did a ton of research, and in the vast majority of the community councils that are available, the bylaws for community councils that are available, their quorums are 10. I think there was only one, maybe it was around 40. I think it was Lazy Mountain. Janet, was 40-ish? Okay, so the most local that we could find was 35. So we thought that 30 was a nice compromise. So again, the people who want to participate on that level to build a better community and get that togetherness can, and not everybody else has to participate if they didn't want to. And the final point is the working sessions. We feel that there is a dramatic need for greater visibility, so we don't have the board taking a document that a committee and community members work together to create, to sit around and make the changes that they felt were important, and propose that out to the community. So hopefully everybody got one of these colored papers.
I'm going to remind the member that there's no insulting of anybody here. None.
You know, I get a thicker skin. I didn't insult you. I stated the truth, Brian, and if you can't handle the truth, don't make that the truth.
Bring the points forward, and that's it, Brandy.
And
the points.
So if anybody didn't get one of these copies, there's probably some out there. We have the version of Article 12 that the board edited versus the one that the community and committee proposed. So if there's not a whole bunch of discussion, I would actually like to see an amendment to just change the whole article. So that's it.
No. The questions go through the chair, please.
If you ask me a question via email or anywhere, I will actually give you an answer.
You have called on Mrs. Shields already, but I saw a couple other hands up. Okay. Right. I can't see you from back there. Go ahead.
Wow. You know, if it wasn't about a year and a half ago, half you members wouldn't know that, Julie Endel, that only 10 to 20 people were forming this community and then trying to change your land so that we couldn't have gun rights. So we had to have a green space around us. And so now they're complaining.
Okay.
I'm not done talking, please.
All right. Calm down.
I still have my 2 minutes. Now they want to change everything and that we're not communicating. Well, half of you didn't even know there was a community council or what was going on. Keep that in remembrance, please.
Mrs. Shields.
Brandy, my question is either for you or for Janet, but on the okay.
No, you have to ask it. You actually do have to ask it through me, and then I'll call on
okay. My question is for Brandy or Janet. On the community councils and the quorums that they researched, was the population and the attendees similar to ours here off Buffalo Mine Soapstone? What was the actual ratio to establish those quorums?
Questions asked. Do you know, Janet?
So the research I did was locally or the Anchorage community councils. I don't know the number of people in those councils, but there were many. So I don't know. I can't answer that.
My name is Martin Chambers, and I have an opinion to state. I felt that we have and had a great community. I didn't see any problems with the community and how it was ran until I heard about a small group of people trying to change my community, with no regard to what I felt about it or what anybody else felt about it. And I believe that we can handle our business in two meetings a year because we handled our business with no meetings a year before. So two meetings, we can definitely improve stuff in our community in two meetings
Wait
a year.
Wait a minute.
As far as that goes, we're looking for the crowd to be a little bit quiet during and respect the person that's speaking. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any further discussion on the amendment here? Because we're still sticking to the amendment. Yeah, I saw you before. I can't remember your name, but Stacy. It's good. Rick sits beside me here.
My name is Stacy Busby. I'm speaking to the three amendments that were brought forward just a minute ago. Based on past participation in this council, I've been here for years. I do appreciate where you're coming from, but the average participation level of this council has been 10 to 20 members for probably the 9 years prior to your experience with how it's been dealt with currently. I think that four meetings a year is a really good idea because it'll give the folks who don't have a chance to participate four opportunities out of 365 days to come forward and say something and to be present and participate. Two meetings is good, but four meetings, if you actually want to try and accomplish something, gives that a greater frequency. As far as the quorum goes, just as I said earlier, 60 members coming to every meeting, people are impassioned, they're involved, they're really interested in what's going on. I anticipate that that's going to trail off as participation continues. So we'll have a great number of folks coming forward now. Over time, you'll see less and less, and if we have a quorum of 60, it will be impossible for us to accomplish anything. 30 to me sounds like a pretty good number as a compromise. For work sessions, I am greatly encouraged to see more transparency. I don't think it's any burden on the council to announce the meetings that they're going to have. Chances are 90% of the community may or may not want to come. You'll be able to conduct your business and everything will be fine. But if they do want to be a part of what's going on, they'll know what the meetings and when the meetings are happening and they'll have a chance to come.
Thanks for coming. Thank you. I'm trying to
like
tell everybody.
Just like
their
to
hand.
Be consistent. Sure. Forgive me for my outbursts, y'all. I don't look at them either. I think one of the main points that I want to make is that for those of you that have been through this whole deal, when the presidency changed hands, right before that happened, Jennifer had set out a committee of people for the bylaws, and they were. There were half of the older people that had been here for a long time and half of the newer people that had come in. Your president...
Try to keep to your point.
I'll do what I can. The president took all of the old members off of that roster. There is no one on the bylaw committee.
Okay, that has
there was
nothing
a regular
to do with the
member
amendment
before.
At hand.
So just,
I want,
just
I
so
want to
you
give
know,
you an opportunity to speak, but you have to speak to the amendment, ma'am.
These people, it just takes me a while to get to my point. I'm getting there.
Okay, I'll give you 15
major,
seconds to get to your point.
That's the major point that I want to make. And I have such a problem with you being a Gestapo. Telling people you can't talk, and no, you can't ask a question, and this and that. It's like, who do you think you are, man? I don't even know. But anyway, that's my major point. You all should know that the bylaw committee
you're out of
was
order.
Chosen
time you sit down.
By him. It was chosen by him.
Point of order is taken, and you can sit down now, ma'am. Thank you.
Do you want a sergeant at arms me?
Do we just want to keep it in order? If it comes around, I want hold your hand up and I'll call back on you, okay? Janet has a comment to make. Yes. Oops.
I
I am actually for two meetings per year. When we were on the bylaw committee, we wrote the bylaws according to the rules that were in existence. That means four meetings per year. I prefer two, and that's my personal feel.
And you?
Name's Byron Henshaw. That was my neighbors that just left, and I'm very disappointed with that. I was hoping we could be a little civil here. These bylaws were worked on pretty hard, but that doesn't matter. The matter is, are they good? Will they work for the community? Unfortunately, right now at this point, this meeting, there's a lot of people that don't know what they are. I would like them to be read. I'd like them to be understood, explained. It's kind of hard to vote on what the engine is when you don't know what engine you want, when you don't know what vehicle you're voting on. So I sure like to move this forward. Thank you.
Sure. And the amendment, could you reread the amendment?
The motion was to read the bylaw proposals, stopping at the end of each one and discuss. It was seconded. There was an amendment to discuss those three areas first, or these three areas first, the quorum, the number of meetings, and the public notice for board meetings. And that's where we are now, discussion on that amendment.
So really we're discussing to move this, to actually discuss this. You know, we're kind of getting into the discussion. And you, Stacy, I said that she'd be having a just hold on for a minute though. But so really right now, I don't see that it's an issue to actually vote for this amendment and then discuss it. Unless you, the two of you have something that you'd like to add, we can vote for the amendment. I'm pretty sure it's going to carry through, but there's no guarantees. But that might be the cleaner way to do this. We can move forward, and yeah, we can read and discuss it. I mean, is that okay with you guys, or would you like to? Well, okay. Stacy did have something real short. Let's bring her up here. And you wanted to move it forward. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I understand.
I'm sorry, I didn't say this earlier. I think it's really important, though, and it addresses the three points that I spoke about before. The whole undercurrent here is greater participation. That's pretty obvious. And what we're already doing by having Radio Free Palmer here, thank you guys, you're awesome. And by introducing absentee voting, we're pulling in the rest of the community that either can't or won't come to the meetings, and we're getting their representation already. I think that's definitely very valuable.
Okay, thank you. And the other gentleman, want to yell out your name real quick? Tim McCullough, okay. Yeah, and he wanted to just move it forward. So I think at this point, I'm going to try for a consent because I really don't see any opposition to discussing this. So if there's no opposition, we'll move forward. So raise your hand if there's an opposition, yell out, speak. The amendment. Read the amendment again.
The amendment just says to discuss those three areas first, the quorum, the number of meetings, and the public notice. The motion is to read the bylaw proposals, stopping at the end of each article and have discussion. The amendment says to discuss these three areas first, the quorum, the number of meetings, and the public notice for board meetings.
So we're voting on the amendment that was read for those three items. And what I asked for is a consent vote because it looked like everybody was okay. But if you guys oppose it, then just raise your hand and we'll take an actual vote by a number of hands. So going for the consent vote, one, two, three, done. So we are now, the amendment was made. Now what we have to do is we have to actually vote on the original proposal. So do you want to read both those together? Because that's what we're going to be doing.
The motion is to read the bylaw proposals, stopping at the end of each article, and have discussion.
And
the amendment that just passed was to discuss those three areas first, the quorum, the number of meetings, and the public notice for board meetings.
So I think we should probably take a vote on this. Well, we're going to take a
we'll take the vote on this since there's no, we've already went through the discussion. So all those in favor of the motion and the amendment which passed, just read, raise their cards. And can we need someone to count. We need the same counters up here every time. Public notice. Do you get the count? What is it? Okay, so all those opposed? They give you. Okay, unanimous, so we pass it. I need to see those. So, according to the motion that just passed, we're going to read Article 12. So, if everybody can flip there real quick, I'll start by reading that. And that discusses, I think, all three of these. Is that correct? We got the quorum. Well, we'll read 12 first here. It's about meetings. So, general, I'll wait just a second. General membership meetings. There will be two general membership meetings per year held on the first Thursday of May and November. So there's where our number of meetings comes in. The annual board elections will be held at the November meeting. Special meetings. A special meeting may be called by written petition signed by 60 or more general members and delivered to the president of the board. The signed petition will clearly state the topic to be discussed. The meetings will require the same notice procedures outlined for a general membership meeting. The meetings will address only the subject for which the meeting was called. The board may hold informal work sessions to conduct board business and or set meeting agendas. Notice. General meetings, and this is a notice section, general meetings will require notice within the community council area. Notice will be posted at the end of Collier Road, Buffalo Mine Road, Soapstone Road, and notice may be placed in any other place deemed beneficial to getting the word out. Notice will also be sent out to those signed up on the email list placed on the MSB website.
Notice will be sent by postal mailing for the November general membership meeting and will include information on the upcoming elections. A meeting agenda will be distributed to the council membership at least 2 weeks prior to any general membership meeting. The quorum, here's where the quorum is. Quorum, if a quorum of 60 general members, so that's the number there, is not met due to weather conditions or lack of participation, the meeting will be canceled. The canceled meeting can at the time be used as a work session with no voting or actions made or be rescheduled. Notice for the new meeting time will need to follow the same procedures required for general membership meetings outlined above. And we're missing one part. Do you have that? Are we missing? See, we got the quorum, the number of meetings, and the public notice for board meetings, I believe, was the other one. And that's an addition. So that's the pink and blue. Brandon, you want to point me to the right place in the pink and blue here, or somebody? Okay, Jason's got it for me. Thank you. This is on the under Article 12 of the pink and blue sheets, and this would be the, actually there's a green sheet, but I don't know which one I'm looking at, but second page of the color document, apparently. So it says work session. That's what we're looking at. So it says special meetings and work session here. And work session is any gathering of board members to discuss issues related to council, including setting meeting agendas, will take place in a public forum. Notice of these meetings must be sent to those signed up on the community email list as well as placed on the MSB website. Notice must be provided as soon as possible, but no less than 48 hours in advance. So, discussion. Dustin? Oh, I give him this green one.
My name's Dustin Renner. Really, I think the only thing that I want to address, my thoughts are on the 60-member quorum. You know, I guess, basically, if we didn't learn anything from what happened before, then shame on all of us. And if all of you are just so confident you're going to make every meeting and you're willing to take a chance that 30 people can change what's important to you regarding your properties and everything else, then maybe 30 makes sense. But if you ask me, if you can't get at least 60 people to show up at the meeting, then maybe people don't want change, and maybe they don't want something different. Maybe they're happy just to stay home.
Thank you, Dustin. Yeah, go ahead. Rick is going to speak here.
Maybe the number here isn't what you think it is, because 60 people at a meeting is one thing, but when you're voting at that meeting and 60 people show up, it only takes 31 to pass something for a majority. If it's two-thirds, it only takes 45. If it's 30, it only takes 16 people as a majority to pass something, and 20 for two-thirds. That's a little bit different when you look at it that way. So just consider that.
Marty, first. It doesn't matter who has their hands up first. I see you. I'll call on you. But
Martin Chambers again.
I'll call you next.
All right. It has come to my attention that anytime we vote, there's a majority vote. Like, there's a majority of us that have the same idea, and there's like three or four people that are against it or no people against it. So having 60 people there, or at least 60 people there, will ensure that the majority of the community agrees on what we're doing. If we have 30 people there, and 15 of them are the people that always show up and are always the one opposing the rest of the community, then we're going to have issues in our community. Thank you.
Jennifer's next. Since I didn't see any hands, Michelle will be after her.
So what was the count on the highest vote we had tonight? So based on that and based on the fact that the last meeting you didn't have a lot of people, you're getting dangerously close to not meeting quorum if you had it 60.
Thank you, Jennifer. Michelle, go ahead.
Well,
Michelle had her, I told her she could go next.
On the issue of the quorum, our community has about 330 households. In general, for most voting endeavors, assembly, state, whatever, about 10% of people turn out. Well, that's about 30 people. So based on that, 30 people is reasonable for a quorum. That said, people's concerns about bigger issues, such as bylaws, changes, you could have two sets of rules. You could have 30 to have a quorum to have a meeting, but you could also say you need 60 if you wanted to do something like approve bylaws or one of the other things that's mentioned elsewhere in here, which would factor into this, is if the community were going to decide to present something to the assembly requesting. So first of all, understand the community council cannot make rules. The community council can propose and take a proposal to the assembly and ask the assembly to make rules. But remember, the community council has no authority to actually make rules. They're just advisory. But you could say, okay, if we're going to take something to the assembly that is actually requesting some sort of rule or regulation be instituted in the area that's different than what already exists, you could have a rule of 60 for that, but still successfully hold a meeting. Because right now, if you only have 50 people show up, you're going to have 50 people that just wasted their time driving here and not get anything done. So why not have two? Why not have compromised two different things where certain things require 60? That would be a way to get around some of these issues. That said, I think you do need four meetings a year to accomplish all this so people can hear what's going on and then show up to the next meeting to vote and not have to wait a year.
Thanks. Krista, next.
Well, I was actually going to say what Michelle just said, and so just to build on that, I guess, that's my understanding as well, that you don't, it's not 60 to pass a bylaw amendment or, you know, people can absentee vote for their board members or such. And I think the section that she was referred to as far as, you know, property, changing property rights, that's in, it looks like Article 5, Subsection 3, and it talks about two-thirds of a vote being needed before any restrictions on private property goes. So, and that requires notice as well. So, you know, for example, the vote that we took tonight on the mailbox, that wasn't a, you know, I don't think that was a very controversial issue, and I don't think you need 60 or 70 or 80 people present to vote on something like that. But the bigger issue is, yeah, you probably do, and that is built in here. So, you know, it's kind of a lot of drama about, which maybe not worth it. 30, as Janet McCullough mentioned, 30 is a reasonable next step, I think, you know, and it is consistent with other community councils in this area. Four meetings a year is completely reasonable. Most community council meetings actually have, community council areas actually have monthly meetings. You go on the borough website and you see that month after month after month. So four is a completely reasonable amount. If people don't want to come to all four, they certainly don't have to. If the agenda is noticed in advance, if you know, a vote's going to be placed on the ballot or on the agenda at the next meeting, people will get notice of that and show up at that next meeting. You know, it's a lot of drama, and it just doesn't have to be this dramatic. Four meetings is completely reasonable. 30 is completely reasonable. And so is open board meetings. There is no reason for the board to meet behind closed doors. There's just no reason for that. It's just not done. I realize what the Open Meetings Act says. I realize that you're not, you know, breaking any statute by meeting in closed doors, but it just would create more confidence in the board if you opened up your meetings. And I will say, just, I guess, an election speech. If I am on the board, do I have to keep going? Yeah. If I am on the board, I know it's not going to be unanimous, and I'm not going to be afraid of people showing up at meetings who disagree with me.
Dustin did have his hand up. Did you speak already, Mrs. Shields, to this? Okay, okay, I know both of you two have spoken. Okay, so Jason would like to speak after everybody else, if I took that right. Anybody else here want to speak on this? Yes, the member here, Sharon Chambers.
I'm Sharon Chambers. I don't know if I feel like the rest of the community, but I've been up on Soapstone since around 1990. I've liked my community the way it was. I don't feel a lot of need to have a lot of meetings and decisions about where my community is going. When I'm happy with the borough, the way it's set up already, I don't see why we have to have four meetings a year, what the purpose of that would be that's going to change the life of me as a property owner up there that can't get decided on once or twice a year.
Thank you. Julie has something.
I'd like to speak in, well, I guess to all three. So first of all, I think that Michelle's idea of having 30 minimum for a meeting, but then having 60 for bigger decisions which can be defined, I think is a great compromise and makes a lot of sense. And I hope people can come in the middle and go with that so that we don't have to be here all night just deciding between 60 and 30. As far as the open meetings go, I don't think there's anything that should be secret from the community. When you have a closed meeting, I think it suggests that something's sort of being secretly done that other people shouldn't hear about until later. That may just be an impression, but it's still an impression. And so I think that announcing and having any gathering, any meeting gathering should be announced. And chances are most people won't go. So it won't change much about how things are now, but at least it gives it the opportunity for people to know that it's available and they can go if they want to. And I think that's a good idea, and that's just an ethical way to do it. As far as the meetings per year, I would like to encourage the people that only want two meetings a year to not take that opportunity away from the rest of the people who want to meet more often. You don't have to go to four meetings a year. You can just choose to go to two if that's the amount that you want to participate. But some people want to participate more, and by your voting against that, that takes away that right. But if we vote for four, it doesn't take any right away from the people that just want to go to two meetings a year. So maybe think of it in that light. And I would also like to say that since I've lived here, I've loved the way my community has been. But when I moved here in 1998, that's when the community council started. And so my experience of living here is having a community council and going to those meetings, and they're fun. And I like going to them. And it's better for me to have them four times a year because it gives me more opportunity to see who lives here and have discussions and see what people think. So I don't think there's any harm in having four meetings a year.
Okay, thanks. So just a second here. Is there anybody else that wants to bring? This gentleman over here hasn't spoken yet.
My name's Brad Oves, and I was a member of the Lazy Mountain Community Council for a number of years. And I understand the rationale for saying 60 to meet a quorum. However, Lazy Mountain had, I think, 2,500 residents there, and there was rarely more than 30 or 40 people there. So my concern is that there would really not be nothing could really get done for the people who really wanted to participate in their community council. I would be in favor of a quorum of 30 with safeguards of making it 60 for larger decisions and so forth. The other item I'd like to address is open meetings. I think transparency is very important, and I would support open meetings.
Thank you. Now, a few people have spoken. If you've spoken already, I'll come back to you. You get twice. So, yeah, Byron, and let's try to move this forward, too, because we've got 8:30 and 9:30 is rolling around real quick. So if we're going to do anything with this, probably should speed things up a little bit here.
Yeah, Byron Henshaw,
I agree with my neighbor there, and I'd like to, if we could go with some specific language added on that says a quorum of 60 members is required for voting on any bylaws issues or bylaws changes, something to that effect, and I would find that favorable.
Go ahead, Jennifer.
Okay, a couple things real quick. One, the fact that you felt the need to hold monthly closed-door meetings all year long. I'm making a point.
Yeah. Yep.
Until you hear me insult you, don't correct me. the fact that you felt the need to do that tells me there's more business that needs to be taken care of on a regular basis, and I would much prefer to see you have less, or anyone in your position, have less closed-door meetings. Actually, I would prefer none. And instead, have four meetings a year. The four meetings a year change was made a few years ago from two so that the community could be involved in every step along the way instead of having closed-door meetings. The other point I would like to make is there should never be a need for closed-door meetings. If you're ashamed of what it is you have to say and don't want people to hear it, then you shouldn't be saying it.
I'm going to let Jason speak. And
okay, so I think that what drove a lot of people to start attending, to the election meeting, what drove a lot of people to attend was the comprehensive plan and the concerns around the property rights that would lead to, or I guess potentially losing property rights based on that comp plan. So for those of you who have that concern, one of the things that was brought up before is that specifically in the bylaws further on ahead, Section 5.3.B is that no rules, regulations, or restrictions can be placed on private property or pursued by the council without a two-thirds vote of the general membership. That's not just simply those who attend a meeting. That's not just simply 30 people or two-thirds of 30 people, two-thirds of 60 people. That's two-thirds of the entire community. So no comprehensive plan, no property rights being taken away from you unless two-thirds of the entire community. And so I agree with the proposal to go with 60 for any bylaw changes, because that's where you could actually, somebody could come through and they could remove that out of the bylaws. So we do need protections in place for that. But when it comes to people who want to attend, who want to see about projects that we can fulfill with the revenue share program, as well as just general going-ons of within the community, I say 30 is fine with that. Additionally, I am too. While I provided justification, and I truly do believe that the board has a right to meet privately, I do agree with having them open. We can have them at the Matsu building or at the MTA building for any board meetings when it comes to forming agendas and those types of things, so that the community can see what's going on.
Did you have something real quick? Okay, I've got something very quick here. Oh, okay, I thought I was going to wrap it up here. Did you want to? Ask a question. Chris Cruz, did you have a question? Oh, I'm sorry, Chris Cruz, wrong. I know you, but go ahead with your question.
Forgive my ignorance, but if you have open board meetings, they would be meetings where you discuss business, but the community cannot vote, as in like this meeting. You would just conduct your business. We would make sure that there's nothing secret going on or whatever. Is that correct?
Yeah.
That's how I understand it. It's a non-community voting meeting.
Yeah, you
just
show up and listen.
And eat popcorn and have fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I'm Chris Cruz. First off, I'm really lousy at public speaking, so just please bear with me. One thing we might want to consider is a compromise here. Instead of two bylaw committee meetings, two committee meetings or council meetings or four, how about three? November, March, and July. That way you get a little bit more participation than you would with two, but it doesn't get to fraying everybody's nerves when they come to these things. A lot of times, you know, people might be well-intended. However good their intentions may or may not be, sometimes it comes across as grandstanding. And that's one of the reasons I think we've had a lot of participation drop off in the last few, you know, over the last year. You know, I've heard, and I'm no crony of anybody, so I've heard repeated attacks tonight against these guys. Right or wrong, it's beside the point. You know, there's no, we need to be grown-ups here and not walk away from here with smirks on our faces or whatever else, like we've got something over on somebody. We need to be try to be professional about this as best we can and stick with the issues at hand. I mean, I've got livestock at home that needed to be fed before I even got here. I've got that waiting for me. I sure as heck don't want to be here till 10 or 11 or whenever at night, and just so people can listen to themselves talk. That's all, okay? And I'm not directing this at any one person because we're all guilty of it at one time or another, okay? But let's just stick to the issues at hand and consider maybe three meetings. That's it. Thanks.
I've got one point I'm going to bring up real quick. I think it's important to know, and this is my opinion. I'm going to drop down as a member of the community here. I'm a member of the community anyway, but I'm not going to speak as a president or anyone on the board here, that in my estimation, there's probably 30 people or maybe just a little bit less, somewhere in that number, that constitutes a minority of this community. Having said that, it's important in the short term and in the long term, in my opinion, that we have community participation. And that means that people will have to show up to meetings. Now, whether you set the quorum at whatever number, be aware of that. We have to consider those two facts as we go forward, because we have to know as a community what's going on, and we have to be informed. So that means if, you know, you don't go, send your neighbor. You know, get somebody here so that you keep informed on what's going on. You know, we don't really have much of a choice in this matter. We're going to have a community council. The way I see it, I don't see a way of getting rid of it. So, you know, it's going to exist. I'm done. Okay, so... What was the motion at hand? This discussion of it. Okay, so now we're actually reading through the articles. Is that what we have to do? So we're reading. We already have a motion on the floor to read through each of these articles. So Article 1, name of the community. The name of the council, Buffalo Mine Soapstone Community Council, here and referred to as the council. Well, go ahead, Brandy. Why don't you come up here?
I'd just like to point out, and I'm not proposing a specific direction for this, but maybe we need to do some form of voting on Article 12. The reason being is, for example, if we do say we only want two meetings per year, we need to keep that in mind when we come to, I think it's Article 5, and we talk about holdover motions, because that's going to totally hamstring us. If we say, okay, well, let's compromise and do three meetings a year, we need to possibly adjust when we say the budget is due for the year, because that currently says February. Quorum, if we're going to make it 30 now, but we want to put specifics in there for certain situations, we need to know that when we get into those sections.
Sure.
So it seems like Article 12 about our meetings is a linchpin for a lot of the decisions for the other 15 articles.
We have to go through and read. Someone made a motion that we read these and discuss them. I would suggest, though, that we keep the discussion to a minimum and keep them directly on the article. And from what we're looking at here, we got Article 1. We just talked about Article 1. I mean, is there any disagreement about Article 1? If there is, bring it up. So we just talked about Article 1. We had discussion on it. You know, we can move to have that on the ballot if we want. At this point, we could. Well, actually, can we do that? Since we have a motion, we have to. I think we just have to go through and discuss this because we really can't bring it. We'll read the motion off again. See, we're actually following through on a motion here.
It says the motion was to read the bylaw proposal, stopping at the end of each one and discuss. Now, if we do that, what's to say we can't go forward with a vote?
I think, unless there's someone that has a suggestion, I think according to the motion, we can do a couple things here. One is we can go through and read each one of these and hold the discussion or to a minimum, or we can, you know, because we're going to spend a lot of time discussing all of these. I'd like to hear from you. Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, we really can't have a. I think the motion on the floor is just to read them all through and then discuss them. Yeah, let's just continue, and then if there's discussion, pop up and give discussion on that article. And then we'll continue to go through them. That way we'll get through this whole article as quick as we can. We've already discussed the three points that I think there were most contention on. And then let's talk about what we want to do next after that. So I'm going to try to go as fast as I can through these. But at the same time, if there's discussion, bring it up. So we're going to Article 2, Boundaries. We'll read it. The council area will be comprised of the following legal description. Township 18 North, Range 2 East, Seward Meridian, Alaska. Section 2 and 3, that portion westerly and southerly of the thread of Moose Creek. Sections 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, all. Section 10, the portion northwesterly of the thread of Matanuska River. Section 11, the portion northerly of the thread of Matanuska River and westerly of the thread of Moose Creek. Township 19 North, Range 2 East, Seward, Meridian, Alaska. Sections 7, 8, 9, and 10, all. Sections 11 and 14, that portion line northwesterly of the thread of Moose Creek. Sections 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, all. And 21. Sections 22, 23, and 27, that portion line northwesterly of the thread of Moose Creek. Section 28, that portion line northerly and westerly of the thread of Moose Creek. Section 29, 30, 31, and 32, all. Section 33 and 34, that portion line westerly of the and southerly of the thread of Moose Creek. And there's an attachment for a map of this area. So, I mean, this is pretty cut and dry. That's the way it is. The bylaw committee has researched that, and that's where we are. So I'm going to move forward unless I see anybody. Section 3, Purpose. In accordance with MSB Code, Title 2, Chapter 2.76.2.0.020, the purpose of this council is to provide a direct and continuing means of citizen participation in government and local affairs. Community councils are intended to give the people a method to work together and for expression and discussion of their opinions, needs, and desires in a manner that will have an impact on their community's development and services. Government agencies, a method for receiving opinions, needs, desires, and recommendations of residents and groups. Local governing bodies, an improved basis for decision-making and assignment of priorities for all capital improvements and government programs affecting community development and individual well-being. I think it's pretty cut and dry. It comes right from the MSB code. Hearing and seeing no discussion, I'm moving forward. Article 4, Membership. General member, any person age 18 years and older who is a resident within the boundaries of the council is eligible for general membership. Article 5 deals how the general membership is established. Limited member, any person who owns property or who represents a business within the boundaries of the council or as a resident of the council age 16 years but less than 18 years is eligible for limited membership. Limited members may not participate in community council voting, but may otherwise participate in meetings and activities of the community council. Is there any discussion on that one? Okay, moving on to Article 5. You're going to have to jump quick because I'm going to move quick. Article 5, voting procedures. The following details and procedures apply to everything except for annual elections. All information regarding election voting can be found within Article 9. So Article 5 is a little bit lengthy here. Eligibility. Every general member is entitled to vote on all voting matters of the community of the council. However, general members are required to provide proof of residence in order to participate in voting. The board will establish and maintain a written voting list of general members. The voting list is comprised of community members that have previously provided the necessary documentation to establish their residency. This is used to verify voting eligibility and expedite checking into meetings. Community members must show identification sufficient to establish physical residence within the boundaries of the community council in order to have their name placed on the voting list of general members. Identification includes a picture ID with a resident's physical address printed on it, i.e. driver's license, state ID, military ID, passport, or, and this is an or, a picture ID and a piece of mail that is addressed to the same name with a physical address within the community council boundaries. If a resident is unable to meet the criteria above, the secretary of the board will work with the individual and ultimately decide if proof of residency has been met through alternative means identification. Two, all general members must show identification at meetings sufficient to locate their name on the general membership voting list, general member voting list, and be issued a voting card. Procedures. There's in-person absentee, and so we're going to talk about in-person here. All meeting participants must check into the meeting. General members who have met voting eligibility requirements listed above will be issued a voting card. Voting on matters considered by the council may be by a show of voting cards if such a vote will permit accurate counting of votes. Only attendees holding up a voting card will be counted as a vote. The secretary is required to record all voting results, both for and against the motion. Absentee. Voting by proxy is not permitted. Absentee voting is permitted for board member elections and any holdover motions from a previous meeting. Now, this describes holdover motions here. Holdover motions may occur when a topic is determined by the council to be important enough that the entire community should be informed and given additional notice of the vote. The language of the holdover motion must be finalized before approval and must be voted on as is at the subsequent meeting. Absentee ballots may be requested by submitting a written request to the secretary of the council board, either by emailing secretary at bmsscc.org or mailing a request to Buffalo Mine/Soapstone Community Council Attention Absentee Ballot Request Return, 1150 South Colony Way, Suite Number 3, PMB 589, Palmer, Alaska 99645. All absentee ballots must be mailed and postmarked no later than 1 week, 7 days prior to the next scheduled meeting. The returning ballots must be mailed to the same address listed above. Valid ballots will include one ballot per envelope. The voter's name clearly marked on the envelope, i.e. return address field, written on the envelope flap, etc. Valid absentee ballots will be noted on the voting list of general members. In the instance that a general member mails an absentee ballot but shows up at the same meeting to request a voting card, the absentee ballot will be discarded. Majority. So we talked about in-person absentee and majority. A simple majority is sufficient to pass each motion on the floor except where specified by these bylaws or Robert's Rules of Order. No rules, regulations, or restrictions can be placed on private property or pursued by the council without a two-thirds vote of the general membership. In addition, such a motion cannot be made and voted on at the same meeting to ensure there is time to adequately communicate to the entire community. Voting would either take place at subsequent council meeting or a special meeting if called. So that's Article 5. That's quite long. Is there any discussion on that one? Okay, we're moving forward. I'm sorry, I missed your hand. Yes, please. We'll bring the microphone up to you.
This may be kind of picayune, but this doesn't occur in the current bylaws. It doesn't occur in this one. And even though there's a statement at the end that say that all borough regulations are adhered to, all of you who are voting as community council members must have a State of Alaska voter registration card. That's a state law. It's a borough regulation. It's not in here.
Okay, please. Yeah. You're speaking, so I want to make sure you have the floor.
Okay, the other thing is under majority number B about the private property, two-thirds vote. The community council cannot make rules regarding private property. We can request through a two-thirds majority vote that the borough do something about property rights if we find we have a problem. But we cannot do it ourselves. So that needs to be reworded.
Okay, thank you. Byron has a question there. I saw. I didn't see any other hands yet. Sure. This is discussion on article number 5.
Thank you. As regards to the 3B there, no rules, regulations, or restrictions can be placed on private property or pursued by the council. That has been brought up before about us having the ability to do that, and that's why it says pursued in there. It covers it. So if we are not able to put laws on, it doesn't hurt being in there. It doesn't hurt nobody. The fact that it says you can't pursue it means the council can't pursue it. The board can't pursue anything without the council's permission on that. As far as the law for the voting card, if it's a borough law, then it's covered by the borough in that regard.
Chris Cruz. Yes, come sit at the table if you can sit at the table. Sit at the table. If not,
okay. Go to the table. All right. So this is going to be very brief, ma'am. You have a very good point. I came up with this idea too, on my own. And although the community council cannot pass any ordinances or laws, it's not within their purview or their power of authority, they do advise the borough. And the advice that they provide to the borough can have solid impacts, very identifiable impacts on private property rights, zoning, the way we live, et cetera, et cetera. And that's where I was coming from when I was working on this with the bylaws committee. Thanks.
Thanks, Chris. Okay, let's move on here. Okay. Sorry, I didn't see your hand, Brandy.
Really quick, something just to kind of keep in mind as we're reviewing these. We have the bylaws, which is supposed to be basically our document for the future unless we make changes to it, but the scope and responsibilities of a community council can change. So it doesn't hurt us to have it in there, but in case those rules do get changed where the community council's authority is expanded or whatnot, we still have that protection built in day one.
Okay, thank you, Brandy. Okay, let's move on then. You want to note that, Mr. Secretary? You got it. Okay. Article 6, dues. The council may establish dues with two-thirds vote by the entire general membership body at any council meeting. Dues must not exceed $10 or the limit set by the Matanuska-Susitna borough, whichever is less. Other funds may be raised by donations, grants, or fundraising activities. Okay, moving on. Parliamentary procedure. Robert's Rules of Order will govern the council in all cases in which they are applicable, as long as they do not conflict with these bylaws or any special rules the council may adopt. Generally, meetings will be as informal as the number of participants will allow. OK. Okay. Article 8. Council organization. Council board. The council board will the board will consist of 5 individuals elected from within the community by the general membership of the council. General members of the council are eligible to hold a position on the board. After being elected, the members of the board will select the president, vice president, secretary, treasurer, and member at large from within their ranks. The board or council may create and staff committees to address issues of interest to the council. Establishment. Number one, a committee members will be selected from general membership volunteers of the council. Two, function. A, after being created, positioned, and tasked, committees will meet and function independent of the board but will be accountable to the body that created it. B, a chairperson selected by the board or by the committee members will lead the committee and henceforth be referred to as a chair. C, a chair will assume... Please try to keep it quiet out there. A chair will assume responsibility for scheduling committee meetings, coordination within the committee, communicate with the board and general membership, and the overall function and performance of a committee. On issues not specifically addressed within the bylaws, this is D, the chair will have the final say on issues pertaining to the function of their committee meetings. 3. Authority. A, a committee does not have the authority to obligate the council on any position and may not incur debts without council approval. 4. Termination. Committee members may withdraw from the committee at any time. B, upon completion of any assigned tasks, special committees will automatically disband. C, the council can disband special committees with a majority vote. Any discussion? Number 9. Article... Okay, try to keep her quick, but go ahead.
I just think that to prevent what happened this time, that where it says upon completion of any assigned task, special committees will automatically disband, I think it should be up to the committee to decide when their task is complete rather than the board.
Thank you. Article 9, elections. Elections to the board will be held during the November council meeting. The president of the council will conduct the elections. 1. Nominations. Any general member of the council may nominate themselves or other individuals to the board. B, nominations can occur from August 1st up to and including the November council meeting. However, nominations must be received 4 weeks prior to the November meeting in order to appear on the ballot. I, nominations made outside of the general membership meetings must be made by submitting the nominee's full name and current board via an email to board@bmsscc.org or by mail. Voting procedures. In person. All those attending the meeting must check in with the voter list prior to the meeting. General members who have met voting eligibility requirements listed in Article 5 will be issued a printed ballot that includes the names of the people nominated as well as space sufficient for write-in votes. Voters are allowed to vote on each position but cannot vote for the same person twice. A ballot with more than 5 board members five board member votes allowed will be considered invalid. Be absentee. Voting by proxy is not permitted. Absentee ballots, may be requested by submitting a written request to the Secretary of the Community Council Board by either emailing secretary@bmsscc.org or mailing request to BuffaloMines/Soapstone Community Council, attention election, absentee ballot, request return, 1150 South Colony Suite number 3, PMB 589, Palmer, Alaska, 99645. Absentee ballots must be requested no later than 2 weeks prior to the election. All absentee ballots must be mailed back and postmarked no later than 1 week, 7 days prior to the meeting. The returning ballots must be mailed to the same address listed above. Valid ballots will include 1 ballot per envelope, having the voter's name clearly marked on the envelope, i.e., return address field written on the envelope flap. As necessary, the Secretary of the Board will work with an individual and ultimately decide if an exception can be made both to the request and return timeline. The number of exceptions made must be recorded in the meeting minutes. Valid absentee ballots will be noted on the voting list of general members. In the instance that a general member mails an absentee ballot but shows up at the same meeting to request another ballot, the absentee ballot will be discarded. 3. Vote counting. The secretary will randomly select 6 volunteer members from the council membership to count the votes during the council November council meeting. These 6 individuals will then form into 2 groups of 3 in order to count the votes, with approximately 1/2 of the votes going to each group for an initial count. 1 individual from each group will tally votes, and the other 2 announce the votes off each ballot. After the initial ballot stacks have been counted and reported to the secretary, the two groups will swap the ballots and double-check the count. If the tallies are reflected accurately between the two groups, the vote count is verified as accurate. Absentee ballots will then be opened and tallied using the same process described above, for seating the new board. The five candidates receiving the greatest number of votes will become the new board. The newly elected board members will select positions as described in Article 10 from among themselves. In the event that there is a conflict over a particular position, the individual who received the greater amount of votes will be seated in their desired position. Positions must be selected by December 1st. Second one is, during the month of December, the outgoing board members will work with the incoming board to ensure smooth transition of counts on ongoing activities, etc. New board is officially seated on January 1st. C. Elected board members will serve for a term of 1 year. The names of the board members must be provided to the borough clerk no later than January 1st. Article 10, responsibilities. Oops, sorry. I'm just reading. Go ahead.
Okay, I hate to do this, but on absentee ballots, subsection 2, subsection B, absentee ballots must be received no later than 7 days prior to the meeting. And why is that? I mean, earlier tonight we were talking about Mr. Endel and Ms. Charvet going at 5 p.m. on the day of the meeting to pick up ballots. So, okay, so that should be changed, I think. And I also have a procedural question.
Sure.
So after we're done reading this, is it the board's or the council's intention to just submit the whole thing?
Well, that's the membership intention at that point.
That's the membership intention?
Right.
Not article by article?
Yep.
Is it the intention to submit this article by article for vote up or down or in its entirety?
Well, right now we are following through with our motion. So once we complete the motion that was voted in before, which was to read this thing all the way through and have any discussion, because we've already discussed the original three.
I see. So that would take another motion.
Then we'll take another motion. Yep. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So, getting late on time, I'm going to continue going. Article 10, responsibilities. President. The president is responsible for running the council meetings, calling and presiding at the council and board meetings, and representing the interests of the community council. The president does not vote at the council meetings except in three situations. If the president's vote will break a tie vote, or if the president's vote will create a tie vote, or if the vote is taken by ballot. Vice president. The vice president is responsible for the duties of the president during the president's absence and will otherwise assist the president as needed. Secretary. The secretary is responsible for keeping minutes of the membership and council board meetings, as well as maintaining the voting list of general members, including an annual attempt to verify that all members that have moved out of the council area are removed from the roster. Treasurer. The treasurer is responsible for keeping financial records of the council and for preparing financial statements, including but not limited to a yearly budget and a year-end report. The yearly budget will be sent to the council in the first week of February for the council's approval at the next council meeting. Member-at-large. The member-at-large is responsible for filling in where needed. Article 11, removal of the council board members from office. Members of the board may be removed from office. Oh, excuse me. I'm going through. So any discussion on 10? I'm just kind of cruising here. Okay, going to 11. Removal of council board members from office. Members of the board may be removed from office for cause that includes termination. A board member will automatically be removed from the board if they submit a resignation, move out of the Buffalo Soapstone community, are convicted of a felony. Excessive absence. The council board can request the resignation of a fellow board member at any council meeting if the board member in question has three or more consecutive absences to council meetings. Vote for removal. A petition requesting the removal of a board member when signed by 60 or more council members may be submitted to the board. The petition will include the names of the persons to be removed and any other pertinent information. The vote on the board member's removal will take place at the next council meeting unless specified in the petition that a special meeting is required. Article 12. We've already read Article 12, so we'll skip that one. Treasury, Article 13. Council funds will be distributed only for legitimate purposes of the council. One, expenses. A budget for the council expenses will be prepared by the treasurer and presented at the first council meeting of the year for approval by the council. At any point, the budget is forecasted to exceed the approved amount of 50% or greater. A report of the accounting and updated budget must be presented to the council at the next council meeting.
I'm trying to read this for a little bit.
Special expenditures. Any council or board member who would like to propose a special project expenditure outside of the approved budget is requested to provide adequate information for the council to make an informed voting decision. Information in the proposal should include a summary of the project proposal, explanation of the benefit to the community council area, items that that the requested funds will cover, labor, specific materials, D, expected cost of ongoing maintenance, E, high level implementation plan, F, a cost estimate for the initial investment and ongoing. 3, attachment B, see attachment B for proposal submission form. There is one, I take it. Proposals can be submitted at any time via email to treasurer@bmssec.org or mail to, and it gives the address, Buffalo Mines Soapstone Community Council, attention special expenditure request, 1150 South Colony Way, Suite Number 3, PNB 589, Palmer, Alaska 99645. I'm going to do a commercial here. Expenditure proposals received more than 3 weeks, 21 days prior to a council meeting will be added to the meeting agenda and addressed in the order they received. Any expenditure proposals received less than 3 weeks prior to a council meeting will be added to a subsequent meeting agenda. Prior to a community council member being hired by the council to perform a service, competitive bids from other contractors must be sought to ensure the most judicious use of community funds. Article 14, representation of the council. I'm sorry. I just get focused and go. Did someone have a question? All right, let's go. Article 14, representation of the community council. No officer or member of the council will purport to represent the views of the interests of the council without the express authorization of the general membership of the council. Authority for representation will take a simple majority vote of the general members as outlined in Article 5. Any member of the council will always retain the right to appear on his or her own behalf and take any position consistent or different from the community on any matter. Article 15, amendments. These bylaws may be amended through the procedures outlined for the holdover vote, Article 5b2. The language to be voted on must be discussed at a general meeting or special meeting. Notice must then be mailed out to each council member at least 3 weeks, 21 days prior to the meeting, where the vote will take place to allow time for absentee voting. The notice must include the specific language to be voted on, the intent of the language, and the reason for the change. The vote must pass by a two-thirds majority of the general membership members present at the meeting, providing the quorum has been met and sustained. Article 16, compliance with borough code. All bylaws shall conform to the requirements of the Matanuska-Sitna Borough Code, Chapter 2.76, for community councils.
I would like to make a motion now that this has been read. I was first, Julia.
Go ahead.
Discussion. What discussion do we have?
I thought we said earlier that you couldn't do absentee voting for bylaw changes. But yet in Article 15 it says to allow time for absentee voting.
Yeah.
So that's only currently. But yeah. This would change it to be that you could.
Yeah, the bylaw committee had put that in there. We tried to keep as much as we could from what they had without. We tried to change as little as we could.
Okay, I just want to make sure I understand. Sure. So this would change how it could be next time. Is that right? Once these get adopted, then you could do absentee voting for bylaw change.
No, that's not correct. You can't do an absentee voting for a bylaw change because you have to be present even in this one.
But that's what it says here. It says to allow time for absentee voting under bylaw amendments. So if you can't do absentee voting, then...
Where are you at?
Article 15 says it must be mailed out at least 3 weeks prior so that... to allow time for absentee voting.
Right.
For bylaw changes.
Two-thirds majority vote of the general members present.
But he said you have to be...
Yeah, it's kind of it conflicts there, yes.
Are we changing our policy then?
So well, that will have to
after
discuss.
This is adopted, then you could do absentee voting for bylaw changes. Is that what we're proposing?
Well, we'd like to do absentee voting. Well, I would like to do absentee voting for bylaw changes, but with the way this reads, you are correct if you're assuming that it's conflicting here, yes.
Well, no, it doesn't conflict if we're changing the policy. Does everybody understand what I'm saying?
If you want to yield to Michelle, your turn there, go ahead.
I think there's two questions. First is clarifying the absentee ballot. The second is the way this is worded actually does seem to contradict itself because it says to allow time for absentee voting, but then on the last line it says general members present at the meeting. So I think that's where the confusion is because it actually says both in the same paragraph. So I guess we need to clear that up. Could Brandy just quickly say what their intent was?
Thank you.
So it sounds like this article 15 is not ready to go forward.
Thank you. So any other discussion on Article 15 then?
Well, in the interest of each and every one of you that are here tonight, I think that I would like to make a motion to move Article 12, which is the one that we have to get through and adopt the motion as written. And I'm talking not Article 12, but excuse me here, the contentious article, the one with the quorum. Which one is that? Article 12?
Yeah.
I would like to make a motion to adopt Article 12 as written.
No objection. Now the motion's been made. We need a second. Second's been made by Dustin Menner, I saw. And so now we have discussion on this motion. So does anybody want to discuss the motion? Okay, Mrs. Shields.
I'm just afraid there might be some confusion. I think that Steve should determine as written by whom. Or which Article 12 he is referring to.
I think he was referring to the one that we just read, which was the one that the board presented to the community, which is the big white sheet here. So, and that has a quorum of 60. So that is the motion on the floor. Is there any discussion? I saw Mr. Pinnock's hand go up here. Please come forward.
Yeah, I'm John Penix. The discussion I have for Article 12, I have discussion letter, a comment. The frequency of 4 meetings, I like the safety of that. The quorum of 60, I like the safety of that. And open work sessions, I like the safety of that.
Okay. So I'm going to pick on somebody I haven't seen. I've seen both these two hands. I can get to them, but I just want to, if there's nobody else, I'm going to go to them, and this gentleman here is be first then.
My name is Bruce Hess, and I don't think that voting for the Article 12 as it stands with 2 meetings makes a lot of sense if your yearly budget is going to be presented in January or February to the council, but the council doesn't meet again until November, then you have a whole year of a yearly budget that can't be approved. So you need another meeting in there somewhere to approve that budget, unless you're going to do it all by email or call a special meeting.
Okay, thank you. So there were 2 hands up. Let's go with Stacy and then Julia, but try to keep. I'm going to start limiting the discussion on this one to 1 minute because we've kind of gone through this quite a bit. If you have something new, please present that.
I'd like to speak to my original concerns in this article. I am in favor of 4 general meetings and a quorum of 30 members, and I'd like to make a friendly amendment to vote on each of those individual points of contention.
Well, the friendly amendment is an acceptable
friendly
object.
Motion. What's the language I need to use?
I'd like to amend the motion. You'd like to amend the motion. That's fine.
Okay.
And the amendment is for what?
I would like to discuss individually each of those points.
Okay.
My opinion is I'm in favor of 4 general meetings and a quorum of 30 members. And I would like to have a vote on each of those items individually.
Okay, that's the amendment. Did you get that, Rick? And I believe there was a second. Krista, we'll put you down for the second. So I'll let Rick read that.
The motion was to adopt Article 12 as read. Was seconded. There was discussion. Amendment to vote on each item individually, the quorum, and meeting frequency. Stacey, is that right? Your amendment says is to vote on each item individually, the quorum, and the meeting frequency. Okay.
And what would you like to amend them to read? Stacey, you're still up. What would you like to amend them to read? Oh, she said 30. Okay. 4 meetings and 30? I want to just be clear. Yeah.
No, I want there to be a general vote which way people want it to be. Not, I am expressing my opinion, but I want a general vote on each item so that we can, as a group, discuss or express what we want.
Okay. So what that would do is that would, once that's voted on, if it's approved, then we would discuss each individual item, but we'd still have to bring up the numbers for it. Is that what?
Okay. As an example, there are folks that want 2 general meetings, and there are folks that want 4 general meetings. Someone else wanted 3 general meetings. Okay, so we have a vote which each of those items is an option.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, yeah.
So that's what I'm asking
right.
for.
Okay, so what we're going to do right now is she's made an amendment, it's been seconded. We're actually going, I don't think anybody's going to object to it, but if anybody does, yeah, we're good. So does anybody object to what Stacy just said? Sure. But keep it to a minute if you could, please.
Yeah. Stretching it a little bit. So I think that we should break it down for the number of meetings. I agree 2, 3, or 4 should be the 3 options. And then I think for the quorum, I think we should have also 3 choices. You have either 30, 60, or 30 plus 60 for more special things should be the 3rd option. And then I think we should also include the open meetings, which is the other contentious issue, as a 3rd vote, and that should be either...
So getting in.
They can be open, they're all open, or the option to be private.
Yeah, you got into more of the specifics, so, okay. Okay, so is there any, I'm going to try for a consent vote here because it may be a good idea. Is there any objection? Please raise your card. Is there any objection to the amendment to go and look at each of these individual items and then discuss them individually? Okay, so we'll vote. What that means is if you object, then we all vote. Sir, I think we're trying to do the same thing here, so let me what I'm suggesting is a consent to move forward and discuss each of those individual items. So if you object to it, then we have to vote on this. So I think it'd be quicker to do. I think what you're asking for is going to be accomplished, but if I'm incorrect, please state me. Okay, so any objection? Okay, we move. Then it's a consent vote. We are going to discuss these 3 items here: quorum, the meeting, and the frequency. The quorum is up. So, is there any discussion on the quorum number? Someone want to make a motion for a quorum of such and such? Okay, there's a motion on the table for a quorum of 30. Or can we do that? Am I doing this right? Hang on one second. Come on, guys. Just hold on.
Right.
Okay, so I just got some advice, which was very good. The number on the floor is 60 right now. So if you want to amend that to a different number, then we have to vote on that amendment. So let's go there. We're going to if anybody wants to change that, and I think you said 30. So there's right now 30 is on the table, and we'd have to vote that up or down to amend 60 to 30. Any discussions? So what we're doing now is if everybody wants to change it to, I'm sorry. We're going to vote on each one individually. Right now 60 is on the table, and then we went to 30 as a potential amendment. So if the community accepts 30, then we change 60 to 30. If they want 60, we leave it at 60. Well, the original intention was what? Stacy, why don't you state your original intention? Come down here real quick. Okay. Why not? Okay, so 30's up first. How many do we got? Let's get the counters out here. We're going to move forward as fast as we can. Huh? Who set that one? We need one more counter. Jennifer, please, yes. So the first number is 30. How many people are in favor of 30? Raise your cards. We're going to take the highest number.
Yeah, one vote for each.
Vote for what you want. So, 30. Raise your cards.
All cards up for 30.
So, how many we got?
Five
votes for 30. And the next number was? 60? How many votes for?
Wasn't there a 36?
60. So, the next number is 60. How many for 60? That's what we're voting on right now. Okay, what you got? 44? How many you got?
Vote for 45.
I got 38, so it's
kind of hard to count. Raising them up high. Higher we got them, the quicker we go. Okay, I think 60 wins here anyway. What's the third? Oh, the 30-60 option. Sorry. I apologize. The 30-60 option. We'll go 44. Just put it right in the middle. If there's a difference, then we'll. No, we're actually not. Let's raise them up and we'll count. Yep. 30-60. Okay, 60's got it then. So the next one, meeting. We have the options now. Correct me if I'm wrong. We got 2 meetings a year, 4 meetings a year, and 3 meetings a year. So first is 2 meetings a year. And we're going to vote now. Raise your cards. 2 meetings a year is what it is, what we're raising our cards for right now. Thirty-three over here.
35.
I got 34. 35. Yeah. So you got 35. All right. So next, we have 3 meetings a year. Everybody raise your card. 3 meetings a year. Counting them now. No, I'm not voting. Ten. 4 meetings a year. Thirty-two. So what do we have? 35 gets it? 2 meetings a year then we have. So the quorum set at 60. The meeting's 2, and now we're at the... What is this for? That's
open or closed
meetings. Is it open or closed meetings on the board? Is that what the third one was? So we're looking for open meetings for the board or closed meetings for the board? So all those in favor... Sorry. Well, we have something in motion, so unless there's something to cancel the meeting, then we can continue. Yeah, that's correct. So, plus, yeah, I would suggest, you know, we're pretty darn close to handling the biggest issues. We might be close enough to get this thing going and done. So, open meetings, raise your hand. Okay. Well, let me try this. Is there anybody opposed to closed meetings? Sorry. I wasn't trying to trick you. Is there anybody opposed to open meetings? Please raise your hand. Okay, we got consent vote. So, we have a quorum of 60, 2 meetings a year, and open meetings. Now, what we've just done is we've gone through that amendment, we've sliced it and diced it, we've voted on it, we got now we have an orange truck that we're voting on. Well, basically, we have Article 12 with a quorum of 60, 2 meetings a year, and open boards. Now, we have to vote whether or not we're in favor of this Article 12 being moved to the ballot. Is that correct? Is that what you wanted to do? Move it to the ballot, or yeah. So now we're the main motion. We're back to voting on the main motion. Do you have a question, ma'am? Okay. Yeah, if you can.
For me to understand this, we're going to vote on the whole Article 12. But we're going to do open meetings, so now this wording under work session is going to be changed to what the original board had put in, the bylaws, with the open meetings.
Yeah, it doesn't say it right here.
Yeah, it doesn't say it in this article. So if we're voting this article in, that we need to realize that we're rewording that section then.
Yes, I think that's understood by the community.
Yeah.
Yep, and it's clarified. It's on tape now. So... Now, the question at hand is, do we vote Article 12 as it is with the 60 quorum, the 2 meetings a year, and the frequency, the open meetings? So do we vote that in? That's the question. And so we're going to vote, you have a...
So
I just want to clarify. What we're voting on is that we as a group, if you will, are going to vote on this at the November meeting, which means we can remake motions if anybody changes their mind that we do want a quorum of 30, because our bylaws actually state today that bylaw changes can't happen till the November meeting. There's no such thing as a holdover. There's no such thing as you can't discuss it. So we could go through all of this again at the November meeting.
We probably won't.
Excuse me. It's in our bylaws.
To do what?
That we can make bylaw changes at the November meeting.
But we're going to put his motion was to put it on the ballot.
Correct.
So, yes, okay.
And so we can still make a motion or whatever we want to do to make Article 12 something different and have something else on the ballot. This is just for final. This is just. I'm not understanding exactly what the goal is here, except for an opportunity to try and get everybody on the same page.
Yes,
but you can't restrict us from actually proposing changes in November.
I understand what you're saying. I believe you're correct.
Okay.
Wait a minute. No, once what we're doing right now is we're discussing these items for vote on in November. So once they're discussed and once they're nailed out, yeah, you can still make bylaw changes, but this will be on the ballot to vote on. Well, this if voted in will go on the ballot. So if people, it would be very sorry. That's enough for me. That would be really confusing what you're suggesting. That would be for the board to decide what goes on the agenda, and then if bylaw changes make it on the agenda from the community pushing them up, then we would potentially have that. But okay, you made your point. So, okay, don't want to draw this out too much, but. You have a question?
Yeah. It's Martin again. My question is, right now, what we vote for is going to be on the ballot, our option is,
right,
in November.
Right.
Nothing else can be added to it because this was the meeting that was supposed to be.
Whatever gets added to the ballot gets put on the ballot for that meeting. So when people show up, they're going to get a ballot.
Right.
And
so
they're going to vote on it.
On that day, though, they can't come up with something else to put on the ballot.
It would be awful.
It's just today.
Just wait a minute. Yes, someone can if the agenda calls for it. I don't think that the agenda is going to call for bylaw changes beyond what's on the ballot. You can, yes. You did make a good point. But let's not confuse the matter. I think we're confusing the matter way too much here. The purpose of this is to move forward. Now, discussing changes upon changes upon changes is leading to confusion, and I don't want to go there. So, let's move.
If you don't like what has happened now and it's not on the ballot the way you like it, then elect a different board and change the bylaws next time. I mean, that's the process.
Okay. So, we have Article 12, Article 12 is on the table. We're going to vote it up or down right now, as it was stated, to put it on the ballot. So, is there anybody... Well, let's All in favor, raise your cards. Okay. Okay, we got 54. All those opposed? So we got 17 opposed. The Article 12 gets put in as we read it earlier. As amended. So, now, Article 12 is off the floor. Byron? Okay.
I'd like to make the motion that we accept the rest of the articles as is, with one exception, that on Article 15, we change the last wording to read, the vote must be passed by a two-thirds majority of the general membership voting, providing the quorum has been met and sustained. So simply, it's taken out present at the meeting, and it's two-thirds of the majority of the people that have voted, whether it's by absentee or not. Article 5 speaks to absentee voting. Thank you.
Yeah.
So that's my motion.
Thanks, Byron.
Second, I caught Chris Cruz for the second, so there are many.
So I want the secretary to read this so everybody understands what's going on here.
Okay. I'm going to need your help here a little bit, Byron, with that wording. Where is it at? 13. Let's see. I think I had you right here. The vote must pass by a two-thirds majority of the general members voting instead of present. Is that correct? Okay. No other changes there?
Yep.
Voting at the meeting. No, that's right. Take that out too. Okay, just voting. Okay.
That would allow for bylaw changes by absentee votes then, and that clears up the inconsistency that there was there. So we are now open to discussion on moving the whole rest of the document onto the ballot to replace the bylaws in November. Discussion. Okay, no discussion. That's good. I like it. But so then we're going to go to a vote. It's going to be an up or down for the rest of the bylaws here. So all those in favor of moving, I'll let Rick read it.
The motion is to accept the rest of the articles, with the wording in Article 15 to say or change to the vote must pass by a two-thirds majority of the general members voting, providing the quorum has been met and sustained.
All those in favor of that motion, raise your cards, please.
What was the 59 or 60? Well, let's take 59 and then let's, because I think that's probably the majority here anyway, but let's raise the cards for those that are opposed to that. There's no one opposed to moving it? Should we say consent then? Okay, there's 1, 2, 3. Okay, raise your cards if you're opposed. If you want to be on the record, that's fine. Seven. So the motion carries. I just want Rick to read that over again.
Motion was to accept the rest of the articles to be placed on the ballot. I'm throwing that in there. With wording on Article 15 to say the vote must pass by a two-thirds majority of the general members voting, providing the quorum has been met and sustained.
All right. At this point, we have a number of items left. However, at the time, I would take a motion to, if the crowd wants to, take a motion to end this. But, sir, motion to adjourn. So, to the motion to adjourn? Yeah. Okay. Well, the board has heard it, and we will. Yeah, we'll put it on. Is there any disagreement to that between the board members? We'll put it on the, to make this thing fast. We'll put it on the agenda for that discussion. Rick, please note that. Just a second. There's a motion to adjourn on the floor right now. So that doesn't allow for discussion. So this doesn't look like there's somebody objecting. So there's not going to be a. We can give you after the meetings if they decide he made a motion to adjourn. I have to go by that. So the vote on the floor is, do we want to adjourn? And it takes a two-thirds vote to adjourn the meeting. So. Do we want to do a consent? Anybody opposed to adjourning the meeting? We got one opposed, so we got a vote. So let's vote on. So the vote is, do we adjourn the meeting? Please raise your cards. We got to go by. All those opposed, real quick. We got 1, 2, 3 opposed to going, so we're going to mark it down at 3. Thank you all for coming. We do have somebody here, a member from the community, wanted to speak, so anybody who wants to stick around, they can stick around. We did promise her she'd have a chance.
I just wanted to invite you all to our community health clinic that's in Sutton. It's open for everyone. We accept everyone regardless of their ability to pay. We accept Medicaid, Medicare, veterans can come there. And so I just wanted to invite you all. It's at mile 61 on the Glen Highway. It's the brown building with the spirit houses. And I left some brochures at the door if you'd like to pick one up. But the nearest community health clinic to you is in Wasilla. And so if you have any issues with getting in for Medicaid, Medicare, you can come to our health clinic. It's in Sutton, mile 61. Thank you.